Good evening, everyone. It's February 26, 2020, and I hereby call the meeting of the Story County Board of Supervisors meeting as Drainage District Trustees for Grant 5 to order. What I would like to first do, and it's not on the agenda, but I would like to have a motion to approve the agenda with some changes that I'm going to read. And for all of you who did look at the agenda, what the change is number 7 on the agenda as it was originally posted was consider annexation of additional lands to grant number 5 and adoption of a resolution of necessity for annexation. We are scratching that, scratching 7 on the old agenda. Then number 8, consider directing the engineer to proceed with the annexation report or annexation and reclassification reports. Move that to be number 4, and would be consider directing the engineer to proceed with the annexation report, resolution of necessity for annexation, and reclassification report. All the other agenda items would remain the same.
Excuse me. Okay, I'm looking at the agenda I have. So under number 8 right now, so all it says is consider directing the engineer to proceed with the annexation and reclassification reports, period. That would move to number 4. And what was it you...
And let me read it. Okay. It would move to number 4. You should have an amended agenda there also. Maybe you didn't get one. Scott, you should have
it. It is, but I had notes on mine. Yeah. That's the problem with real last minute changes.
Number 7 and 8 were somewhat redundant, so we combined them and moved them to number 4.
And we moved them to number 4, and we added a resolution of necessity for annexation with the phrase annexation report.
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't know what a resolution of necessity is.
It's required by the code. It's in the code. I'll get you a copy.
Okay, so... All right, I'm talking as loud as I can. Then I'll shout more. How's that? Let me know when
we're also getting some feedback, so we might be moving back. Sometimes we have feedback, and I know I tend to move back from the mic when I have feedback. I'll try not to do that. Okay, so, Loris,
So I guess we can move, and then I'll ask from the attorney more about what exactly that is as difference to annexing itself. So... All right, so you're looking for right now for just the readjustment of the agenda, and this is as the agenda that was published just apparently recently, late today?
It was altered today. Following our meeting at the City of Ames, we had a meeting this afternoon.
At 3 o'clock, so
yes.
This has been...
It's not changing the subject matter, it's just that we felt like we didn't have things in quite the right order.
Okay, all right. I'll move.
I'll second the amended agenda. Boy, we're really getting the feedback here.
We are. Is a motion and a second. Is there discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Heddens?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Agenda is approved. Thank you. All right, can you hear us all right now, ma'am? Ma'am, can you? No?
Would you like to move up, maybe?
It's bothering us too. Yeah. We're trying to adjust it.
We have no IT people here to help us with that.
Okay, what we will do next then is have a brief history of the Drainage District Grant 5 project. And Kent Rohde, our engineer, will give that.
Hi, I'm Kent Rohde. I'm the engineer of Golden Bay. I also have today with me Tyler Conley, also a Vulcan Banker in the Arizona office on the aisle. We've been at this for some time, so bear with me here, but do a brief history as best I can for what's transpired over the last 14 years. Four years.
Seems like 14.
Seems like it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the district was established in 1902, along with a span of 20 years, about 3,000 other drainage districts in the state of Iowa. But from there, I'm going to skip to in 2016, where this all started. There was an informational meeting in March of 2016, where there was a question on annexation of a land area in the upper portion of the district that was draining into the existing facilities. So we examined that, put a preliminary map together at that information meeting, and from that there was a petition by Black Third Farms for improvement and annexation of that area, or a study of an annexation and improvement. With that, we filed that report with the board in January 2017, and a hearing set for March of that year, where we were directed to investigate additional improvement options, including a Lincoln Way culvert, a two main tile system, and further investigation of some water quality. We amended our engineer's report and filed that on February 27th of 2018. Then in March of that year was a hearing where we discussed the existing undersized Lincoln Way culvert, proposals for improvement to that, examined a two main tile system being the existing east, what I call the east main tile, as well as an additional west main tile, and the water quality. At that hearing, we were further directed to investigate and refine that Lincoln Way culvert design, the west main tile improvement, and that east main tile improvement. Shortly after that, in March of 2018, we sent wetland letters to all landowners within the existing district, as well as the proposed annexed areas, requesting wetland determination for potential improvements to those areas because of the impacts of converted wetlands due to the improvement done by or approved by the drainage district. Just as a side note, we have received a limited to those requests. A second amendment was filed to the engineer's report, and a continued hearing on that engineer's report was then at that continued hearing on December 11th, 2018. We were directed to move forward with plans and specifications for a west main tile annexation and reclassification of the west tile. On August 13th of 2019, and then filed the West Main Tile final plans and specifications in the SRP. They were approved, and a bid letting date set. We also filed an annexation report for the West Main Watershed on September 10th of 2019. October 24th was the bid letting and opening for the West Main Tile Improvement Project, and those bids, as well as the hearing, were considered at an October 29th meeting of last year, 2019. At that hearing, the annexation was considered but was rejected due to landowner objections and no lack of support from landowners. Therefore, the award of the contract for the bids were all rejected at that time as well. Then in December of December 9th, 2019, the trustees moved to schedule a public hearing, consider annexation, requiring reclassification, and open bid prepares, which brings us to today's hearing, where those things will be considered as well as others on the agenda. That is my summary of the last 4 years of the project. Do you want me to go right into a review of the report?
Agenda item two?
Yeah.
Let me say just a couple words first to let everybody know about a meeting we had earlier today. Is that all right?
Sure.
Because I think that fits in. I was in attendance at a meeting today with our drainage district engineers and our civil attorney and our county engineer and our drainage district clerk and representatives from the city of Ames and the Ames Economic Development Commission. And both the city's engineer and I decided it might be a good idea for us to get together and just talk a little bit about what was going on with the city of Ames and Grant 5. And the reason is, and I don't, is that with the annexation and the Prairie View industrial site that is a certified development site, which is along Lincoln Way all the way to, you know, basically to the Nevada city limits, they are anticipating quite a bit of development will go on there. There are options on lots that might be sold for industrial development. So there's some concern about what might be going on, what the city might be doing there, what some landowners who are developing industrial sites might be doing in that area, and then what does the drain? What are we doing in for drainage in that district? So we just wanted to share information so everybody knew what was going on. We updated them on what we had been looking at, the engineer's report here, and the various things we'd been looking at. So we're anticipating development between Lincoln Way and the railroad, basically, in the next couple years. The option was discussed for the drainage district to consider holding off on improvements because developers might want to reroute existing tile. That's just a discussion, but it was a discussion I think that we needed to have. There was no conclusions on that. We believe that if anybody's developing that land and does want to reroute tile, they will need the drainage district trustees and approval of that. We're looking into that legally, and we need to look into how that would work. It's kind of a unique situation because we've had drainage districts that go into some towns before, but there's a lot of development that might happen there. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. And if anybody who is at the meeting feels like they want to add anything to that, that would be
perfect. I'd like to express my concern. I knew you were having the meeting. We both, the two supervisors not at that meeting, knew that meeting was going on. But nowhere did I understand there would be a discussion about maybe us holding off on something. So I heard there was going to be an update about kind of what may or may not be happening. I believed it was much more of a technical update rather than a discussion of preemptive policy.
No, it's not a discussion. It was a sharing of information, but that was suggested, and I'm just bringing it up because that was suggested at the meeting.
Was that suggested by somebody who wasn't at that meeting today? Or is there someone here who was at that meeting who could speak and actually make that request, therefore identifying what their particular special interest
John
is?
John,
you're looking right.
I know I'm looking right at you.
Okay.
John Hall,
excuse me, could you go to the microphone? We need to get, we're recording. Thank you.
John Hall with the Ames Economic Development Commission. So at the meeting today, we talked a lot about if development occurs in that area, what would that look like? What would be the City of Ames requirements that currently exist? How would they handle the water that would be already moving through that area, as well as the improvements that we know need to happen in that area? So it was really just a conversation around the engineer's recommended reports, the City of Ames's current plans in place out there, primarily with the water and wastewater infrastructure deployment along Lincoln Highway that's planned, and in fact going out for bid next week, looking to one of the City of Ames engineers in the audience, and the potential conflicts that has with both of the recommendations in the engineer's report, and simply a conversation about what both groups, what both entities
needs and wants are out there. And I suggested that perhaps we could look at this in a couple of different ways. So the engineer's report really identified 220th Street to Lincoln Highway. And our interest and the City of Ames' interest is really south of the Union Pacific Railroad to Lincoln Highway. So it's really a portion of that. And how can we look at that portion that's south of the railroad for handling and conveyance of this drainage in a way that does not obligate landowners to a facility that if you guys do go ahead and approve either of the options for improvements out there, and then we do have development come along that ultimately reroutes that tile, reroutes that open drainage ditch, conveys that water in a different way, are the landowners then obligated on paying for a facility that now no longer would exist?
So, John, do you think the people out here and the other two supervisors would like to have heard that conversation? Because I originally said, yeah, go talk to the city engineer. But as this group got bigger and bigger, I'm now concerned about what information was discussed that isn't being heard here. So, I'm a little flabbergasted that the discussion got that deep. It was not what I understood this meeting at 3 o'clock today was going to be about. So it's going to be tough for me to make decisions tonight going forward, knowing that a very robust conversation occurred that didn't involve other people. I just letting you know about that. Yeah, I appreciate you saying concerns and all of this kind of stuff, but that I feel that needs to be presented to all three supervisors so all three supervisors can make decisions. And would there be anything said at that meeting that could not have been heard by the public?
So what I would say is I am fully committed to sharing anything and everything that happened at that meeting. And frankly, I'm fully prepared to do that. I sat for the meeting. I have a really good understanding and full faith of Tracy Warner at the City of Ames. We also have Nate Wiley from the City of Ames here as well, so he can speak about the engineering side in the City of Ames, and certainly I can speak about the AEDC interests. I would say that the importance of today's conversation was really just looking at that intersection of where this drainage district crosses the City of Ames and ensuring that there are no major conflicts in the immediacy for the water and wastewater deployment out there. That was the primary focus of it, and we spent an hour and a half having that conversation, really just updates from either side, and then figuring out basically what each side wanted to see in that. Certainly we can have that entire conversation here again.
It sounds almost like a negotiation.
It was an exploration of it was sharing information, so everybody who was going to be impacted about new information and could share that information back with other folks. And it was probably got into a little bit of exploring what kind of options might be there. No decisions were made.
Okay.
So, and I thought that since we were talking about these things, that maybe a little bit of context about what was going on in Grant 5 in specifically to the Prairie View industrial zone was something that should be at least acknowledged.
And I can say that Tracy Warner certainly thought that as part of the agenda tonight, there was full consideration on adopting either of those options. It was made clear that the focal point of tonight was more about the annexation of that additional land into the drainage district. So it was really a recap on the conversations that the City of Ames had in the past at these open meetings as well, since Supervisor Merkin is new to the board system too, and Supervisor Hedden certainly, you're new to the board as well, and I'd welcome any opportunity to bring you up to speed on those conversations that have happened in the past.
So that's where I am. Was this discussion, did it in fact include information that would be necessary for us to know tonight? And I think there's a lot of invested people, and there's not a unified audience out here. We've received our last protest. We've got two different attorneys who want to weigh in. This is a pretty volatile situation to hear. There's a lot deep conversation about a couple of players that was occurred and not brought in and shared. So I don't want to hijack the meeting. I guess would it be appropriate then, with after we hear what the recommendations are, maybe could John then fill us in more, or Noah? Hi, Noah. Could fill us in. What exactly are the city's concerns and the NEDC, specifically, that might impact what it looks like we're supposed to decide tonight? Would that be fine?
I think so. And Darren Moon and Ethan Anderson were also at the meeting, so as well as Kent and Tyler, so we had engineers there, so they might be they can certainly chime in too. We can do that.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Kent, would you please continue now with agenda item 2? Thank you.
I'm going to be summarizing, the most pertinent report and what we're dealing with is the amended engineer's report. Filed in February 27th of 2018. And in that report, go through some things that I think is pertinent here tonight and a little more background. We found that part of our initial study that there are 10,788 modeled acres within the watershed of Drainage District 5. However, currently there's only 8,879 acres that are being assessed for benefits within the existing watershed. Existing facilities consist of the main open ditch, a main tile, three branches, and then five interior tiles and systems. We've investigated the open ditch and surveyed. There's some pictures in the report that shows heavy siltation, a lot of erosion, and beaver dams, and some significant washouts of corrugated metal pipe surface drains, tiles that are entering the ditch and been blown out and in disrepair. So there's definitely some issues in that area along that open ditch that needs to be repaired. And that is a recommendation in our report, is to repair that main open ditch and bring it back to its original design condition. And we have preliminary plans in here as well that show that profile and ditch plan. Examine the capacity of that existing ditch, and it varies with the ditch bottom of between 10 to 12 feet foot wide bottom and 1.5 to 1 side slopes. And the grade, again, was based on its original grade that varied throughout. We also examined the main tile capacity. The main tile that Drainage District number 5 is drastically undersized. It currently has a drainage coefficient of 1/16, which means that if you would receive, theoretically, if you would receive a 1-inch rain, it would take 16 days for that rain to drain away. Again, that's assuming normal conditions, or maybe disjointed tiles, or maybe certain areas that are plugged, silted in the tile, that assumes rather good condition. The Ohio State University recommends a half-inch drainage coefficient. That's based on good surface. In professional areas, they recommend a one-inch coefficient. Just addressing the Lincoln Highway Commission, I talked a little bit about that. The existing rectangular culvert is undersized and would have the capacity to contain or drain a two-year 24-hour storm without overtopping the road. Our DOT standards recommend that the 100-year storm be designed for the 100-year storm, not overtopping the road. And that, so that is that. Does on the top of the road. So, report again, this was rather lengthy and complicated, but we broke the work down into sections. Section one was the open ditch repair, and again, that would bring the ditch back to its original condition. It would straighten some of the meanders in the open ditch before they got too severe. It would remove the sediment, replace that sediment back on the soil on the top of the bank. That soil would be leveled, would have a gentle slope to back by the 10-to-1 slope to that facility farm. Then they looked at section two. And we provided alternatives for improvement on Section 2, which is between Lincoln Highway and 220th. So that, again, it addresses that area north of Lincoln Highway. At this time, we wrote the report. It wasn't annexed into the city as part of an industrial area, but since then that has occurred. And certainly there are concerns for and need for cooperation between drainage district and the city, and I think that conversation today, as well as the conversations that we had with them, are lending itself to that, because certainly that's a concern for landowners upstream of there that may and have a need for some improved drainage. So we need to determine how that can best be done while accommodating development in that area. So as part of that, we looked at a tile improvement. What would it cost to replace that existing portion between 220th Street and Lincoln Lane with a larger, bigger tile to provide that half-inch drainage form? And we provide a cost estimate with that. The required tile size in that area would be a 54-inch diameter reinforced concrete tile. Rather large pipe. And at some point, when you get to those larger pipes, you have to look at and examine what an open ditch would cost in that same situation. This is a little unique in that area between those two roadways are separated by the Union Pacific Railroad. That complicates things. Anytime you deal with a railroad, it complicates them, in my opinion. But in this case, it is ruled that the responsibilities for tiles underneath railroads is the responsibility of the landowners that benefit from that pipe. So a 54-inch tile, for example, would have to be bored underneath that railroad. And that cost for a wide right-of-way, I believe that right-of-way is probably close to 100 feet or more, that would be extensive. So then we examine what it takes to do an open ditch in that. And looking at that, the responsibility for a culvert, as the courts have ruled, is the responsibility of the railroad. So that cost in itself is taken as less, not a burden no longer of the landowner. So that reduces the cost to be much more efficient improvement for that area. And that would essentially be an open ditch extension of the existing main open ditch. Then then we looked at improving the main tile from 220th Street North and extending it into the northern portion and the proposed annex area. Of course, those tile sites vary significantly along that route. Then we also looked at providing branch tile improvements to provide access. You have a good main tile while some of these outlying areas along the outside edge of the watershed need to get their water, and landowners need to cross other landowners' lands to get their water. So providing lateral tile to bring that water to the main tile. With any of this work, there are work limits provided and damages would be paid to landowners on whose property the work was performed. So if there are any crop damages, there would be assessments made for what those crop losses would be, and those would be considered at a completion hearing when the work would be completed and paid for, and landowners would be, have the opportunity to object to what is initially proposed, and they could propose provide actual costs if they have them. For example, another thing that is considered is receiving of buffer strips, likely along the main open ditch. Our contractor does not do reseeding of those. There are many different types of seed mixtures that only the landowners, in cooperation with the NRCS, have knowledge of, so we allow them to send that over to the landowners to receive their CRP acres, much like we want to plant their crops. So those, again, are damages paid at an estimated amount or an actual damage. Consider that a completion. If there's any repairs or improvements considered tonight, those would likely occur in the fall of this year, continuing through next year. One other thing I would want to mention is those buffer strips you would need to receive and contact the Farm Service Agency to get a waiver for work being performed on that area. Because there is a contract that you are responsible for, particularly the county service agency, county committee, would consider those grants and waivers that have done on an individual basis. We also examined the right of way along the open ditch. Once the district was established, it was considered to have an easement for the right of way along the open ditch. A lot of times in the old records, they did not state a width of what that right-of-way was. And that was the case along this open ditch as well. But according to Chapter 468.27, following its establishment, the drainage district is deemed to have acquired a permanent easement on the right-of-way. But however, if that drainage record on file in the auditor's office, the particular district cannot define specifically that land taken or at any time upon its own motion for a land safe surveyor to make a surveying report and actually define the right of way of taking purposes. So we're proposing that 100-foot right of way be established and defined along that open ditch. That is typically what is done in other drainage districts. The importance of that is that landowners along that ditch that have that right-of-way can continue to farm that right-of-way, much as they've been doing for years. And that area will also be taken off of their property tax roll. You no longer will pay property taxes on that area. That also provides an area typically around 20 feet wide for excavators to get in and work that is necessary and needed for and I don't know if there's serious consideration about improvements, any improvements, but the important is of significance with that, and that is why we sent those letters out to landowners to get that information of wetlands that currently exist within the watershed. Because we cannot request a certified wetland determination. Only landowners can do that. So it's important for anybody that thinks that they have a wetland on their property that they obtain a valid certified wetland determination. Just be aware that there's a wetland because of the potential for that wetland to be converted by any improvement project that occurs. Any repair projects, of course, do not increase the capacity of the work. They only bring it back to the original condition, so that is not a concern. But the reason for getting these wetland determinations is so the board would have that information available to them to make any considerations they may want to make for any wetlands that may be converted because of the work bringing. Clean Water Act is not an issue with this just because it is a repair. Water quality is something that is of significance anymore. It's been brought to the forefront with the Iowa Nutrient Reduction Strategy. It's always a concern for sedimentation and reducing sedimentation of open ditches or any facilities. I've included a section on water quality. We passed out a section on best management practices. A lot of those best management practices can best be performed on an individual basis, cover crops, maximum return to nitrogen, bioreactors, tile zone wetlands are another one that was a newer practice that is being worked on by our firm and with the trustees here have agreed to consider those throughout the county. So we're in the midst of that right now, determining what areas might be considered for possible candidates for those tile zone wetlands. And what that is, briefly, is they are up small depressional areas in the uplands of the drainage district. Anywhere within the drainage district, to be quite honest, that we has the elevation capable where a tile can be outletted to the surface and essentially fill that depressional area, and then that tile water be captured on the downstream edge of that wetland, where in the meantime then that water is detained. Sits there where sediment can set it up, settle out, as well as nitrates can be used. So, a practice that requires very little regulatory compliance or permitting. It's well funded. It was pretty much 100% funding for that work. And this is quite a good program. We also looked at last stops. What is a last stop? A last stop is a water and sediment control basin that is typically placed. I talked earlier a little bit about surface drains into the ditch. It's areas where overland water runs to the open ditch and then goes into a corrugated metal, open corrugated metal pipe. And then that outlets through that ditch embankment and then allows the water to flow into the ditch. A lot of those surface drains on this open ditch are failed. They're washed out and not properly sized and very poor condition. I propose the potential for placing those with the last stops on the sediment control structure, which is that same corrugated metal pipe, a new one actually, with a riser pipe. sedimentation of the open ditch and provide some water quality improvement by the retention time that it sits there. And the goal is to retain it enough where you can get some sediment removal, yet not long enough where we're damaging crops, of course. So, and that is the goal and the challenge of the design of it. But there are many more best management practices that I encourage you to look over and consider at this time, at some point. The annexation, a little more into the annexation. Again, there's about 1,909 acres that are not included in the Grant 5 assessment schedule that we believe are benefiting from the main open ditch, at least. They contribute to the sedimentation of that open ditch. Their water flows to it. The main open ditch makes their land more productive by draining the water and reducing the overflow from the their land, and thereby increasing their land value. They have water, and everybody in the district in that watershed boundary that is not an arbitrary boundary, that is a high point where all water inside that boundary flows to the facilities of the district. And everyone within the district should help pay for those facilities because they benefit from it. There is no other arbitrary line that we draw that defines where that start and stop. So that is our goal, is to make the district whole and show that everybody that benefits is helping pay for the facilities. Chapter 468.119 states that if the board becomes convinced that additional land contiguous to the district is not outreach or county boundaries are benefited by the agreement said district are contemplated, the board may adopt with or without a petition from owners of the proposed annex resolution of necessity for annexation of such land. Now, the annexation and a reclassification that would like to follow that are two separate proceedings. The board, if they are considering annexation of additional land, would like to direct me as the engineer to prepare a report on annexation. And then there would be a separate hearing on for those parcels that are being considered for annexation would receive separate notice, and then there would be a general notice to the school district as well. And with that, a reclassification would likely occur, and it's recommended in my report because it is a large area that with the prior classification, the existing classification was done in 1924. So that's almost 100 years ago. And so a lot of things have changed in that time. The land use has certainly changed. A lot of we're already hearing of some industrial areas and the like. But so the other important thing is that our methods of reclassification now are far different as well. We use computer models, geographic information systems. We also utilize LIDAR data, which is elevation data that is very useful in determining the watershed boundaries and flow paths to these facilities. The other thing is that currently there's one schedule that is being used to assess for the whole district. So some at the bottom of the district, for example, paying for tile repairs in the upper end of the district which they don't use. That is not equitable. What we would plan and do for reclassification is that we would provide separate schedules for all the different facilities. We would do a separate schedule for the main open ditch. Only those people Iowa files would each have a separate skid based on their drainage area. Each of these have an interior watershed that determines who benefits. There are a number of factors, just to go briefly through how that reclassification is done and what it's based on a number of factors, including area, how much area do you have draining through that facility, how wet or what is your mean for drainage, how wet is your property, how wet are those soils, what will your soils need drainage for more than the clearing the soils that are on the hills. We also look at the use. Most people at the end of the facility don't use as much of that as those at the upper end. Those at the upper end use and need the whole thing. Those at the bottom only use a small portion. So a factor applied to that. We also look at proximity. Those at the outside edge have to get their water to the facility, so they need to pay for any lateral tile or any private tile to get their water to that facility. So factors apply for proximity. We also look at land use or land runoff. How much roadways, for example, railroads have high impervious areas, pavements, ballast, and those types of things that create a lot more runoff, so they would be provided and given a factor that is higher than that of agricultural land comparison. All these factors are multiplied times low enough one another to come up with units of benefit, and your units of benefit comparison is totally the percent you would pay for that. In our report, we recommend that a main open ditch repair be proceeded with. And again, the drainage district trustees are given responsibility to keep the system. The code reads that it is not a main, it is a shell. They shall keep the facilities in good repair. So they have a deep responsibility. And I strongly recommend the main open ditch repair. The main tile and branch tile improvements, if there's desires by the landowners of the district, I would recommend those facilities be improved in the recommended half-inch drainage coefficient, as well as right-of-way be established as being 100 foot wide on the 50 foot each side of the center line. We also recommend annexation and classification. In the right-of-way, annexation, and reclassification, each of those three items would have a separate notice and a separate hearing. One other thing I think I failed to mention is the reclassification process is done by three commissioners. Myself as the engineer would be one, and there would be two other disinterested landowners in the county, not interested in this district, that would be appointed by the board as a commission for that.
Okay.
Installment payments, any of this work should be paid for between 10 and 15 years. That too is determined by the board. Of course, you have the opportunity to pay it all up front.
Repairs that you talked about, bringing it back to original capacity. How does original capacity, the other improvements that you're talking about with tile, what does that do to the original capacity? Is the original capacity sufficient with the proposed improvement?
Would you summarize the question for the record? Before you answer it, would you be willing to do that so people don't have to come up to the mic?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but the question was about the original capacity of the main open ditch, and if that's sufficient if the tiles upstream are improved? My answer would be yes. A lot of these ditches are constructed deep, not necessarily for capacity, but for tile, get the tiles to outlet to them. The depth that they made them was not so much capacity as to get access to the tile there. So a lot of these ditches are actually more capacity than what they stormed at 7 feet.
Are there any other questions from the audience?
Yeah, I thought I saw someone in the back.
So if we add more tiles, like you suggested, up in the top part of the drainage district, we're going to increase the amount of flow in the open ditch. And my understanding is that now you're 1/16, and if you brought it up to specs, it'd be 1/2 of that, and you're proposing that that would carry all the extra water?
Yes.
And what about the water then from city? I don't know. Is that
going to
go into that drainage district, or is that
going to
go west?
That portion that is within the watershed boundary will go to these facilities. Yes.
So they're going to go in and smell all that area and blacktop it and come right down on our property.
There is one thing that was mentioned at the meeting today that was relevant, and the city engineer stated that the city's ordinances or city's regulations would require that there not be more water going out of the area.
Yeah, the city has very strict regulations on stormwater management, and because of that, those areas that develop and increase the impervious areas have to retain their runoff, and theirs is an unusual one that if you strip, they have to retain it so it isn't released. It's released at the rate that if that area was previous prayer in good condition. So it would actually probably reduce it from what it is today.
Yeah, well, I know you're not familiar with this, but South Duck is a good example of how poorly the city managed that when they built the apartments in there. Said they're going to maintain the water by putting some ponds in there. Those ponds are definitely not sufficient to take the water and stream off that land. I don't have a lot of confidence that they're not going to put more water in our ditch.
Not being fully informed of what's all going along, we have to keep in mind that I'm sure the city of Ames has been developing over a long period of time, and I don't know how long these water management regulations.
Why couldn't that water from that area go west going to Skunk River?
Because it takes a lot to divert water out of a existing drainage system.
It takes too much money.
Well, I think if you were in that other district, how would you feel if somebody else would dump the water on you? I think you have to be very careful when you do that, and I mean, that would take a lot of study and a lot of, and I don't think that would be fine.
Are there any other questions? There's one over there. Ma'am?
Yes.
Well, with the airport road, the Veda Airport Road, and it has two retention ponds. One's connected indirectly to the other one. And Van Wall is sitting up there. They've done all that reconstruction, settled all that dirt around. In the very corner of southwest, you want to call it, from Van Wall, we've got retention ponds, and we've got all that other extra coming. We have the pond or lake, whatever you want to call it, on Highway 30, just a fourth of a mile from there. That's all draining in one area. And this pond, they reconstructed it so it goes in the southwest corner. It drips down high frequency when flooded. Those ponds are all full right now, and the retention pond. What are we going to do? It goes across section 14, 15, blows out road, gravel, goes across our land, blows out erosion, dirt, tile. They don't do nothing about that. That is a poor design for the Beta Island, and it has no attention whatsoever.
And, ma'am, I don't know if that's a Grant 5 drainage district issue. I'm sorry to hear that it's causing you problems, but I don't know that that's a drainage district.
It's within the drainage
district, the drainage district, but it's not caused by the drainage district facility.
It's a tile district. It's part
would that
of
be?
It's what?
It's a tile district. It's part of Grant 5. It's a separate district. The reason to be open ditch.
It's a town district.
Be aware of us.
Okay. Okay.
Linda,
it's going on to it.
Yeah. So Grant 5 has five tile districts that utilize that open ditch, and what Ms. Jensen is referring to is one of those. It's a that area of Nevada is served by a separate tile district. It's in Grant 5. It's also in a tile district that utilizes a Grant 5 open ditch. So it's in two districts at the same time. But the issues being caused there are probably pertinent to the tiles in that tile district more than they are to the capacity of Grant 5. It's a separate district.
Okay.
Inside Grant 5.
Inside Grant 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it is a problem, but it's not in Kent's report.
Okay, so maybe that's something that we need to look at it at some point, but it's not on tonight's agenda, and I'm sorry about that. But maybe we could talk about that a little bit later. What are there other questions regarding Kent's report that he's summarized tonight? Okay. Are there any questions from the supervisors that you'd like to ask Kent at this time before we go into?
One more.
Yes, ma'am.
Why do they take north of the railroad? Why don't they go in by country landscape like it used to be and drain it there? That is an open ditch or whatever you call it, open ditch, the right of way. We go, they're dumping ours out in the right of way. And also they call it an open ditch. Never heard of such a thing.
That's what you were planning on doing, though, basically, with the North Basin.
That was the West Tile improvement.
The West Tile.
That don't carry hardly any water.
Right.
And
that was your plan. Was, hey, she's talking about the West Tile.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Very
well. Yes, yeah. It was.
Well, there's, that's the first water in, so elevation, that basically 2-3 miles south, then that's the top of the water in, so 3 miles up.
90-some% of the landowners is debt to that.
I know, and that's the problem. Why wouldn't you if you're not paying anything to be in the district anyway?
But there's a right way and a wrong way.
Right? I mean, who wants to pay for getting by for free?
Yeah.
And how do you object to the natural flow of water?
Kind of it's a hedgy, sketchy deal because if you get by for free, you won't pay.
Supervisor Olson, did you want to say something?
I did. I wanted to just address how we left that situation with the West Tile. And I remember making the statement to the people who were objecting that they need to work it out. And if they can't work it out voluntarily about that flow issue, then I believe that at least this Board of Trustees would readdress it. Just to let you know.